Lately, after all this, this is from Taylor, I'm starting to believe that I'm actually mentally ill. These are direct quotes from her. You'll see in her emails in my inbox. This situation has birthed so much distrust in God and questioning who He is. I don't know what is from God and what is from Satan in this situation. Since this, I've done a lot of research on cults to try and figure things out, and it makes Christianity seem so dark. So this episode of A Table in the Wilderness is an extraordinary recording series to me. I'm going to use this person's first and last name. They have multiple names because this person was used by Satan to inflict more damage on my ministry in the last 14 years than any other person I've ever come across. It was a tremendous and very effective attack that Satan made through a very young, then 21-year-old, sweet, gentle, sincere-looking young lady who had originally reached out to me many years earlier as a young, very, very hurt teenager named Taylor Calkins. Taylor Calkins eventually starts a YouTube channel that she uses the name Taylor Noel, N-O-E-L-L-E. She then marries a young man that she met underneath of my YouTube channel named Ethan Meitzner. So her married name is Taylor Meitzner. What you're going to hear today is the beginning of Taylor reaching out to me all the way back in 2017, where she was being terribly afflicted, terribly confused, and was totally upset about God and her position with Him, to the point of even being concerned that she had a mental illness. What is so remarkable about this situation is, I believe it was Austin Sparks who said that many servants of the Lord have found that it has been those who they were able to help the most, or at least attempted to help the most, who then sometimes turn and cause the most amount of pain for the servant of the Lord, that have then hurt them the most. And that is actually what happened with Taylor. This young lady who ran to me and my channel, I believe directed by God, to try to find some light and some clarity on a massive amount of spiritual confusion in her life, ends up finding the help that she needs, getting her on track. She then ends up getting herself in 2018 under my YouTube channel sucked into a cult. A very mentally deranged young woman named Lacey M. Pearson captured the attention of several young people that had been following my channel. And while I was taking the year off at the command of the Lord to build my tiny house, she was able to draw them away as disciples after herself. It got very, very ugly. I don't have time to explain it, but it got so ugly that the FBI had to get involved. It was a disaster. And I spent a lot of time ministering to Taylor and her friends, a few of which I'm still in contact with today and have wonderful relationships with, like Leo Arweo and his wife Angel, who were also in the same cult side by side, shoulder to shoulder with Taylor. But what I'm going to do, because Taylor is public, she came out against me in 2022 with a video in her own name called Why I Stopped Following Michael Criswell. I'm going to now be using her name and tell you the backstory behind Taylor and I's communication, her journey. This is very fascinating, even for me, to go back and look and see, how did this meltdown happen? How did this occur? So I want to be really clear to point out that below, somewhere below this posting on the Table in Wilderness, there'll be a link to a page that I made called Taylor's Switch that will show you all of the email, like with images of the actual email correspondence and the actual recordings that went back and forth between Taylor and I years before, Satan was able to take her into a whole nother level of deception and then turn her around. Very ironic. Against me, the one who she was so thankful at one point in time that helped her. Satan turned her around against me, attacking the credibility and effectively trying to put the light of Christ out and his fruitfulness in this ministry to what at one time was tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people being exposed to the content. This young lady was used to virtually wipe away. I mean, it was like a flood. You talk about Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Satan came in at me using this very sincere young lady like a flood. It cost me almost all of my support. It cost me tens of thousands of people following the ministry being fed the truth of Jesus Christ. It cost me my relationship temporarily with my son, having to leave where I was living with him on my way waiting to go to New Zealand. And I had to go out to California to flee for safety because a lynch mob had gathered around Carrie Criswell, my ex-wife, when she found Taylor's video. And they came after me to the point of trying to find me and thinking that they could come and have me like citizen's arrest, if you will. It became outrageous. If you haven't already seen that story, you can go to relentlessheart.com. If you're not there already, put in the search tab, Deconstructing Satan's Schemes. And that will tell you the whole story. To the praise of God, he eventually, after albeit most of the damage was done, the Lord vindicated me in this story and helped me through a slip up of the man behind Taylor, the man who had inspired Taylor. God helped me to find his identity through a mistake he made. And I was able to go to his YouTube channel and begin to see who was this person. What kind of character was the man who inspired Taylor to make this video called Why I Stopped Following Michael Criswell, which created so much damage. And in that pursuit, I discovered all these videos of this man that revealed him to be the fool of fools, not even close to being a born-again Christian, and Satan's hand was revealed. The challenge was is that it was revealed quite late, and the damage, as they say, had mostly already been done. But nonetheless, the Lord allowed all of this. The Lord allowed many people who were not sincere to be led astray, many people who were not able to look beneath the surface to see that this was a very conniving, scheming, clever effort of Satan. He allowed them to be washed away. And here today, in this series, Table in the Wilderness, it just so happens for the spiritual warfare category, we're going to come back to the very first email and the very first recording I ever made in an effort to try to help this sweet, hurting young sister of mine in Christ, I believed at the time. And then again, below this link, below this video, there'll be a link to this page where you can see the whole backstory. And this is really just very remarkable to go back and see, how did this happen? How did a person that I tried and succeeded in helping so much, according to her own words, eventually completely turn against me and be used of Satan to attack and destroy the credibility of Jesus Christ in my life? So Taylor starts out contacting me in the throes of what she considered to be mental illness. I'm just going to read a few quotes to help you see the condition that she was in when she first reached out to me. And remember, as I read this, this is a person who's going to be used of Satan to turn thousands of people away from this ministry. I cannot express how important that is to recognize when you hear this. Quote, "Lately, after all this," this is from Taylor, "I'm starting to believe that I'm actually mentally ill." These are direct quotes from her. You'll see in her emails in my inbox. "This situation has birthed so much distrust in God and questioning who he is. I don't know what is from God and what is from Satan in this situation. Since this, I've done a lot of research on cults to try and figure things out, and it makes Christianity seem so dark. Ethan got a dream that had, quote, Satan is after you. Ethan is the young man who becomes her husband. And so he has a dream that says Satan is after you, written out in letters. She writes, my mind is torn apart in every direction possible. I'm struggling to believe in God and whether his guidance is real and what even is true Christianity. Now, keep in mind, this is Taylor Meitzner's email to me after I had already helped her for 2 years on February 12th of 2019, about 2.5 years before she's going to put out a video that Satan inspires her to do that becomes the single greatest attack Satan's ever made against this ministry. A person who's questioning if God she can even trust anymore, a person who says Christianity seems so dark, a person who is saying she doesn't even know what is from God and what is from Satan in this situation, who's having dreams by her would-be future husband that Satan is after you, and she doesn't even know what true Christianity is. But she's going to put out a video 2 years and some change after this that she believes that God inspires her to do, to warn people about me. Let that sink in. This is an extraordinary story in every point. So her very first email to me happens on November 27th, 2017. And this will be the prelude to the recording that you're going to hear next, which is the actual first recording I made to Taylor. Subject, a major spiritual attack. Hi, Michael. I'm a girl from North Carolina. My name is Taylor, and I'm in the 10th grade. I have written to you on YouTube before and shared my testimony to you. I was the one who told you that at the age of 14, 2 years ago, I went to a mental hospital because of all this spiritual warfare faced. I also shared with you how lonely it was being a Christ follower in high school. I have no friends, not even in the Christian club. I sit alone at lunch in the library reading my Bible, and I always considered it such an honor and joy to have Jesus as my only friend. School seemed a little less dark after finding your videos. I've been planning to only ask for Christmas a couple of your devotionals, along with some other Christian books, and hand them out to teachers that I felt God was calling me to. Your new book has also been very encouraging to me. My heart has been drained of the desire for anything else in this world but God. I desire him so much. I fill up 100% of my free time with spending time with God because I don't desire doing anything else, including some days waking up at 4 to be able to be refreshed in him before school. I've prayed prayers that he will send anything my way, good or bad, that will make me closer to him. My biggest dream is maybe one day finding a future husband that also loves God, and we can start a little ministry together to share God's truth. I started a YouTube channel in hopes for people at my school to find God, but then gave it up to God after watching the Faith in Faith video you put out and decided rather to wait on God's command. Big brother, honestly, I thought that the next time I would be talking to you would be in heaven, telling you everything that your videos have helped me with. But these last 2 days, I have experienced such major spiritual attacks. I feel like even though everything I have stated is true, I'm making myself sound a lot better than I am. I was reading my Bible days ago, and I was reading the passage about the unforgivable sin. The thought, quote, Jesus is evil, darted across my mind. And I feel like I have officially blasphemed God and caused the Holy Spirit grief. The same God that has been holding on to my hand my whole life, that died for me, I have caused grief. What have I done, Michael? I tried telling God how sorry I was, and that the thought felt uncontrollable. I feel as though I have made an irreversible mistake, and this is the time that I get cut off. I've been in such despair over this that I have gotten physically sick. Though your spiritual warfare, through your spiritual warfare videos helped me. Though your spiritual warfare videos helped me understand what was happening to me 2 years ago, I feel like this is worse because I've never blasphemed God, only because I didn't know what that meant. I thought I had moved past this and that I was much farther down the road in faith than this, but now all I see is darkness. I absolutely will not give up chasing God. It is so ingrained in me. It's all I know how to do, but I just need some hope. I don't want this to obscure my view of God, because all I can envision is Him looking down on me with disgust. I know He is infinitely good and I trust Him. I just don't trust myself. Sorry for all of this. I know you get a ton of messages, so I hate to add to your pile. I completely understand if you can't write back. Regardless, though, I feel condemned. I know that His will is better than mine. Thanks for all you do in your ministry, Taylor. Now I'm going to jump ahead, and this is just the first of several emails that we're going to trade. But today, Taylor Meitzner, after she took this shot at me, believing it was of God, it's curious to note that in nearly 2 years, in fact, it'll be, I think, just another 4 months. It will be 2 years since Taylor has posted anything else about God on her YouTube channel. It's as if her testimony in Christ has been cut off. It's as if she has been cut off from Christ. She has another YouTube channel today, and it's just Taylor Noel, and it's about her writing. And this is how she now describes herself with this brand new YouTube channel. Going from being obsessed about God, having a YouTube channel called Broadcasting His Love, which no longer puts out any videos since, again, in 5 months, it'll be 2 years. Her new YouTube channel says, "I'm so glad you're here. I'm Taylor Noel, a book-loving, writing-obsessed creator living in the Pacific Northwest. On this channel, I share my journey of slow productivity and the joy of getting lost in a good read. This channel is a home for my vlogs and sharing advice about finding ways to live more intentionally. If you're looking for inspiration on reading, writing, and wholesome living, then you've found the corner of the internet you're meant to be. Grab a cozy drink, hit subscribe, and let's dive into this adventure together." Currently, she has 5 videos. When I watched the most recent video that she put out called Transforming My Life in 6 Months, Episode 1, Goals and Strategy, my wife and I noticed that the video is completely void of God. There is not one mention of God, of Jesus Christ. It's all about her now transforming her own life using apps and tools and goal setting and all the things that worldlings use to find their life, to make their life, etc. We also noticed there was not one mention of her husband. She speaks about my goals, my problems, my apartment, my apartment, my apartment. And then we also noticed that she's not wearing a wedding ring. There's no sign as she shows her apartment. There's not one sign of a husband anywhere. When Lisa and I watched this, she said it was like the shepherd had abandoned her sheep, where she gained all those followers for herself under her, quote, Christian YouTube channel, then completely damaged the spirituality of thousands of people, perhaps, who are being exposed to the truth of Jesus Christ in my channel. And then once I, with God's help, revealed Satan's hand in her video and her scheme with Matthew 24:11, she's effectively abandoned that channel, abandoning all of her followers. She puts no more comments up. She answers no more replies. She starts a new, if you will, incognito YouTube channel that's now about all of the foolish, surface level, worldly things in life. Please try to understand how this looks and how this feels from God's perspective. Please try to understand how it feels from our perspective that this young lady, so damaged, so wounded, comes to the ministry. I spend hours and hours and hours trying to help her and all of her friends that got messed up in this cult. It ends up that she turns around on me through the hand of Satan, leads thousands of people away from the truth, and then abandons them and goes and starts a godless YouTube channel about foolish books that she's reading and silly little goal setting and habit apps that she's set up for herself to transform her life and start afresh for 6 months. Can you imagine how God feels about this? Brothers and sisters, think about the people that would have been in contact with this ministry through their own deception, through their own ignorance, and God would have led them here. And then they went and found the YouTube channel. And I think my wife is raising her hand. She'd like to add something.
Well, it's like everybody believed that she was saving them, you know, with the truth and saving them from the deception of Michael Criswell's teachings through Relentless Heart. And yet she's led them all off the cliff. She's led them all to their death.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
It is. It's tragic. There's no way. I feel like I could speak for hours on how tragic this is, that a young woman to me who, as I watched her video, still looks mentally unstable to me, looks incredibly lonely to me. It's absolutely unbelievable for me to sit here and see that she's never come back and realized the damage that she's done to people. She's never repented. She's never said, I'm sorry. No, she's just over here now with her new little habit, showing her body in her own video with her little tight clothes because she wants to lose some weight, that she has goals for how much she's going to eat and how she's going to lose weight and how she's taking care of her skin. And this is the young lady that got thousands of people to follow her away from Jesus Christ in this ministry right off the cliff. I don't know what else I can say. The more I say it, the worse it gets. A tree is recognized by its fruit, and Jesus has clearly left this building. This has been her reward for doubting God and for striking out against a servant of the Lord. But nevertheless, it's important for you to see where she came, because when I first received these messages from her, I could not help but feel compassion. Even today, I feel compassion for her. She's more lost now than she's ever been, perhaps at any other time. It's clear from what I'm seeing. So today, we'll share the recording that I gave in answer to the email, and be sure to look below this to see the rest of these recordings and the interaction between myself and this young lady who I tried to love in the name of Jesus Christ and who was successfully turned against me by Satan. May God bless you as you listen. Hello, dear Taylor. This is your big brother, Michael. I just got done from spending time with Daddy on the trail, telling him how awesome he is and how much I love him and how much I need all more a bunch of wisdom from him to help me so I can help other people. And I get in my car and I decide to check my email, and there is your delightful email. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud to hear that you love God that much, Taylor, and that you're willing to be alone. It's not easy. It really is not, sister. I know there's a lot of people all over the world that feel really alone. You know, there's a lot of people that are sitting at lunch every day without any friends. And it's not because they've chosen to be so friendly with God. It's because they don't have anybody else. Imagine how lonely that would be. And you have God. No matter where you go, Jesus is with you. I'm so thankful that you know this at such a young age, Taylor. You know, I mean, that is just such a rich blessing. And I know, you know, God always chooses the black sheep, right? He always chooses the one that doesn't really fit in with the crowd and doesn't have a lot of friends, or they've, like me, made a lot of mistakes. I had a lot of friends, but I made a lot of mistakes. And God usually chooses the weak, the lowly, the humble. He chooses the people that the world looks past or rejects or even makes fun of. So I am so thankful that at this young age, you are already so concerned with God and you want to follow him with all of your heart. Sister, he loves you and he's going to help you. Now, let me just encourage you and tell you a couple of things. Number one, it takes a really long time, unfortunately, Taylor, for us to really grow in spiritual maturity and for us to get a lot of these kinks worked out, the things that we don't really understand and
things we're really sensitive to or really big weaknesses that we have in certain areas, lack of understanding of God's ways in some things, how to discipline ourselves, how to, really live and walk like Jesus. It takes a long time, sister. It takes a really long time to do this. And we make all kinds of mistakes along the way. All of us do. You know, a lot of these mistakes that I have made and continue to make from time to time keep me so humble, and they serve as a constant reminder of my need and total dependence for Jesus, which is exactly where he wants me. Remember, he told Paul that his power was made perfect in weakness. Now, there's many weaknesses that God will give us victory over, and he'll give us strength in, and he'll wipe out because they're bad weaknesses and they need to be out of the way. But God will allow there to be plenty of weakness left in us to always help us to remember that apart from him, we're nothing. And it also helps us to not look down on other people because we see that we have all this weakness, right? So you're going to give yourself patience. Be patient. It's going to take a long time. It takes years. Just know God's going to be with you, and there's going to be lots of ups and downs on the way to spiritual maturity and finding fullness in Christ. There's no way around it, okay? So for example, one day you can be feeling so great. Oh, wow, Lord has just blessed me like Jesus just came back, right? And then the next day or two, you can get attacked. You can be discouraged. You can stumble into a sin. You can be so frustrated, persecuted, and you can just find yourself down. Sometimes I've had days where I wake up, Taylor, and I know, oh man, the devil's been working on me overnight, and nothing has happened. Nobody has said anything to me, and I'm just having what I would call a spiritually oppressive day. And I have those from time to time, and I've just learned to just cry out to Abba. And I don't have them very often anymore, but I did a long time ago. And every once in a while, I still do. They're rare, but if I have one, I just go, okay, Lord, this is your day. Do with it as you see fit, and just give me the grace to do whatever you want me to do. And you just keep going, and you keep persevering. And I'm telling you, Taylor, it just gets better and better and better. Now, with new levels come new devils. So the higher you go with God, the lower the devil is going to be in your life, meaning he's going to pull some real ugly ones on you. One of the things he's doing to you right now is harpooning you with these blasphemous thoughts. It's very, very common. And what the devil's trying to do is to get you to think that those thoughts are coming from you. Let me tell you, they're not coming from you, okay? The thought to betray Jesus did not come from Judas. As soon as he eats the bread, the Bible says the devil entered into him. And it says that Judas, the devil had already put it into his mind to betray Jesus. See, the devil can put thoughts into your mind. And here's why he does it. If he can get you to think enough blasphemous thoughts about Jesus and get you to believe that it's coming from you and that you've sinned against God, guess what you'll do? You'll crawl in a corner and hide from God exactly like Adam and Eve did. You don't want to do that. You're having spiritual warfare. I'm so excited that you recognize that, okay? He is a tormentor. Now watch. God allows this for a reason, Taylor. It's not like God is like up there and can't see it. And he's going, oh my goodness, I need to watch over Taylor. I mean, I cannot imagine that I'm the devil, that dirty devil. I can't believe he's doing that to my precious daughter. No. God allows it to happen, sister. It's just like, who was it that led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil? God, the Holy Spirit. As soon as he's anointed for ministry, the Holy Spirit leads him into the desert to be tempted, right? And harassed and tormented by the devil. So the reason why is this is a time of testing where God allows your faith to be tested. See, if the devil can move you away from your faith in God, that's not faith that pleases God, and that's not faith that can save you. That's why your faith has to be an overcomer. That's what it speaks about. Jesus speaks in Revelation 2 and 3. You have to overcome be faithful even to the point of death, and then I'll give you the crown of life. He who is an overcomer, well, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. That's when you get true eternal life. You have to overcome all the way to the end. In Luke 8:13, Jesus said, there's a seed, the word of God, that falls on rocky soil, which is a certain type of people, who hear the word at once with a bunch of joy, and they're all excited, and they want to go tell everybody about Jesus. But they've landed, the word landed on them, and they're a rocky soil. They don't have any root, and they only last for a short while. Jesus said, when the time of testing or persecution comes, they quickly fall away. So Taylor, you're going to be tested. Okay. And what will happen is, it's not that God is having fun with you. It's not like God is allowing the devil to get out a magnifying glass and burn you up like an ant on the sidewalk. What God is allowing to do is he's allowing the devil to be used to strengthen your faith in God and to prove your faith in God. You see, if you're still standing in faith for Christ, Taylor, after the devil has shot 100 arrows in your mind saying, you know, Jesus is evil, Jesus is a devil, Jesus is horrible, Jesus, whatever, and you're still standing and rejecting those thoughts, guess what you have? You have a real faith. And that's why I'm trying to tell you, you need to be encouraged. This is not you having these evil thoughts. The devil is putting evil thoughts. Ephesians 6:16, take up the shield of faith with which to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. What do you think those flaming arrows are? It's whatever the devil wants to hit you with that he knows you're weak in, or that he can do to separate you from God. He's trying to separate you. Now, what does the Bible say you're supposed to do? It says you're supposed to submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do exact opposite, sister, of what Adam and Eve did. Do not run and hide. Run to God and tell him exactly what you just heard in your little heart. The Jesus is evil comments or whatever it is he's putting. And you tell him, Father, I hate these thoughts. These are not my thoughts. Lord, I'm asking you to please protect me from these thoughts and give me the strength. Ask him for strength. He's going to continue to let them happen for a while. Think about it. Do you think if Jesus on day one was saying, Lord, please take the devil off of me? No. He had 40 days for a reason. And God's going to allow your faith to be tested. Okay? He is going to allow your faith to be tested. But what he will do is he will give you grace. If you notice, the Bible says the angels attended Jesus. What is that? That's God's grace in the face of the attack from the devil. God will give you grace. Sister, I promise you right now, you don't realize it, but God is giving you grace through me. Do you see? Like, for example, do you know how many emails I get, Taylor? I don't answer them all. I answer actually very few of the emails I get. So whose email did landed on my inbox where when I open it up, it's yours. And I'm encouraging you. So right now, perhaps I'm not saying I'm an angel. Please don't read into this too much, but God is sending you his grace while the devil is harpooning you. He's trying to encourage you to stand strong. Be strong in your faith. When the day of evil comes, stand. And after you've done everything to stand, stand. That's what it says. I know it can be painful. My laughing is at me and just how much I know what you're going through. It is absolutely not laughing or dismissing the pain and the frustration that these things can cause. I understand they are very ugly and painful. Okay. Sister, God, you will get through this. It's just a season. It happens to many, many people. If you get in a real bad spot and you need some extra encouragement, I want to encourage you to read John Bunyan's testimony. And it's called Abounding Grace to the Chief of All Sinners. Now you'll know where I came up with my book title. Mine's Astounding Grace, Astonishing Grace to the Chief of All Fools. His is Abounding Grace to the Chief of All Sinners. And if you read in his biography, you will be amazed at how much the devil tormented this guy. I mean, absolutely, for a long time, for years, it lasted. I know you're going, oh, please don't let it last. It probably won't. But see, God was going to do something so big through John Bunyan, so powerful, that 500 years later, I'm talking about him to you right now. He wrote the book called Pilgrim's Progress. It's the all-time most printed book next to the Bible. It is such a rich, rich blessing to people. And God needed to test that man and put him in prison for 12 years and gave him such wisdom and insight. It's just incredible. So, but he was tormented. Oh my goodness, he was tormented. He was told over and over again, he'd committed the unforgivable sin. He blasphemed God. He had the same kind of horrible thoughts you did. And sister, I've heard from many people that have had this, and I've made several recordings about this. Okay? I just want you to know I'm so proud of you for fighting the good fight of faith. You're a sophomore in high school. You care about God, and you've already seen evidence that he's with you and that the Christian life is real. It's absolutely real. Okay. But so is the battle. Now, again, I want to remind you, when you are in this situation, when you know that you're under torment like this, you need to ask every day in prayer, like you say, you've been getting up early to read. I can't even tell you how proud of you I am. I just got such a soft spot in my heart thinking about seeing you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to spend time with your Father in heaven. And I'm just so proud of you. I'm so honored to have you as a person who emailed me. And I thank God for you, sister. You're going to have many very difficult days ahead of you. Okay? Following Jesus Christ is the most difficult thing you can do, but I am telling you, it is the greatest, most unbelievable adventure and reward, and God loves you. God loves you. I feel Father's heart and his love for you, and you're going to go through some difficult things, sister, and God will be with you, and I'm telling you, one day, you will thank God more for all the afflictions and difficulties that you'll go through than you ever will for him taking them out of your life. Because you'll recognize that it's one of his greatest blessings and that God always gives more grace than he gives suffering. That's one of the most amazing things. It's like a catalyst for God's grace is his suffering. So the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, but then so does the comfort and so does the grace. So I'm just so proud of you. But remember this, and then I'll let you go here, that these thoughts are not your own. Okay. Listen, do you know, I even have had thoughts like this. I've had horrible thoughts, been sitting minding my own business, working, and had horrible thoughts come in my mind. They're not from me. I don't think those kind of thoughts. I'm not interested in those kind of thoughts. I mean, literally, I think it was yesterday, sister, I was working at a Starbucks and some thought just popped into my head as I was just sitting up, relaxing my shoulders from writing. I'm writing my book. Some horrible thought. Do you know the kind of assault that comes on me while I'm writing my book? And I literally put my hands in my face and I just said, Lord, I need you to handle this. This is so horrible. I cannot believe this thought. I mean, a totally horrible thought came into my mind. It's a total spiritual attack. Okay. Now look, it's rare. I'm going to tell you the truth. God keeps the devil at bay in my life in that way. I used to be so vulnerable. But you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And watch this. When you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Okay? In God's timing, he will flee from you. See, God will see your faith and then he'll sick the dog off of you. He'll get the dog off of you. Okay? That's what you have to do. And so again, just cry out like a little child. Father, I hate these thoughts, Lord. Please give me the strength as long as you're allowing them to happen. Please just give me the grace and strength to trust you, to believe you. And Lord, I just want you to know that this is not how I feel in my heart. I don't know where these thoughts are coming from. Apparently, they're coming from maybe the devil, Lord. And Father, please, I want you to help me with this. Give me the grace. And he will give you the grace. Just be honest with him. Watch this. If you want to get the devil off of you, you go to Father every single time he attacks like a tattletale. I've said this in another video. There's no such thing as a tattletale in heaven. None. Okay? You need to go tell Abba everything that that dirty devil is doing to you. It's one of the reasons why he lets the devil do these things to begin with, so that you'll become a tattletale. That's why the Bible says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. It's another reason why it says, cast all of your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. God wants you to go to him. Okay? So go to God, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You just simply make the habit of going to Father and telling him, Lord, the devil put another one of those thoughts in my head. Now, let me ask you a question. If the devil sees you going to Abba every single time he attacks you, and he sees that you're growing closer to the Lord every single time, don't you think the devil realizes that he's a catalyst for spiritual growth and helping you become more like Jesus Christ? Don't you want the devil to feel that way? Don't you want him to feel like everything he does to you is a backfire? That he's tormenting you and you run closer to Jesus, and every time he's messing with you, you run and tattletale on him? Be a spiritual tattletale. I'm telling you, it absolutely works, and God loves it. And then, when Father sees that you've learned your lesson, not that you've been a bad girl. I don't mean that. That sometimes sounds negative, that you've learned your lesson. Let me say rather, I mean, when Father sees that you're strong in that way and that you've passed the test, he'll take the devil off of you. Okay? And then you will have a faith that is richer, a faith that has been tested and proven, a faith that withstood fiery, flaming arrows. Sister, you wouldn't believe some of the arrows and the things that the devil has thrown at Brother Michael, okay? You can imagine. I don't have to convince you of this, but you might imagine that when you're on the front lines telling people how bad the devil is and how good Jesus is, the devil hates your guts, right? So I have all these kind of things too. But you know something? No matter what that dirty devil has thrown at me, and no matter what the Lord has been pleased to allow him to throw at me, none of it has stuck to me in a way that touched me negatively. Everything that the devil has thrown at me has been for my good. Literally, everything has been for my good. It all turns around, and that's how Father redeems it. It's the most astonishing thing in the kingdom of God. It's amazing how God turns all of the devil's biggest tricks and works and schemes and lies and persecutions and terrible things. God turns them all around for those who love him and who are humbled before him. Sorry, I'm letting all my blinds and stuff down. I just came in and it's dark outside. So may God bless you richly, sister. I'm so thankful for you and for your love for God. And don't let that fiery arrow come into your heart. And don't let the devil accuse you. He can accuse you, but don't take it to heart that it's you doing it. It's him, okay? God bless you, sister. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.